ABC Radio Australia.
Despite the announcements from PNG and Fiji over the last 24 hours, the Pacific Islands are still largely free of the COVID-19 virus. And the SPC, the Pacific Community, is working hard with countries to help keep the situation under control. Richard Ewart has been speaking to Dr. Paula Villivi, the director of SPC's Public Health Division, to find out more about the organisation's role in the COVID-19 crisis. But first, what does Dr. Vivili make of the US President Donald Trump's decision to cut funding to the World Health Organization?
SPC and the WHO work very closely to help serve the countries in the region. And it would be fair to say that the countries benefit a lot from the work that WHO does, not looking at the specific source of funding from the US, but more generally, if there is a cut or reduction in the support for countries from WHO, it goes without saying that that will have a significant impact on how countries are able to deal with their health issues.
And in terms of the situation in the Pacific currently, we have six countries affected so far, and that's been the way for some time now. What does that tell us, really, about the overall situation in the Pacific? I mean, in a way, are the Pacific Islands benefiting from their remoteness?
Well, you know, the Pacific region is probably the best place to be and the worst place to be in such a case as COVID-19. It is the best place to be because you're so isolated that it will take a lot for it to get to the countries. And it's no coincidence, as you look at the countries that have the cases, primarily at least the five countries, Papua New Guinea, Fiji, French Polynesia, New Caledonia, and Guam, gateways where a lot of travel come through to get to the Pacific countries. The countries that don't have cases have put up restrictions for travel relatively early, and very early for some of them. And therefore, as you look at the spread of the disease, because the countries were very early in putting up their travel restrictions, it's been very helpful in limiting the cases that get to the countries. So in that regard, you're in the best place because it takes a while to get here. Not in the best place in the sense that if, in fact, you do get cases, as long as they're manageable, countries will be fine. But in the event, which we don't want to happen, that you have a significant escalation of numbers, it's obvious that the health systems will struggle to cope with the numbers of cases if they go too high.
In countries where there are no confirmed COVID-19 cases up to now, there are already signs in one or two, certainly of them perhaps easing back on the restrictions. I mean, what is your view within the Pacific community if they do that right now?
The science is quite simple in a way. And if you can isolate your population enough so that you are absolutely or near absolute sure that you don't have COVID-19 in the community, then you can open things up. So, for example, if you look at the countries who have recently opened up, Samoa has opened up some, Tonga has opened up some. And what they've done is that from their last passenger that has been to the country, they've been able to separate the population and isolated a lot of their people coming in certain isolation areas. New Caledonia and almost all the other countries have done the same, actually, in designated isolation areas. So actually, there's a separation of the people coming back from overseas to the general population. You then put in a 14-day incubation period plus another week, and some countries have put in another week to go to 4 weeks, and they've started opening up, which makes sense. And so if you look at isolation, contact tracing, and testing, if you're satisfied with what you're doing there and the lag period is long enough, then we think it's quite good practice to start opening up if you have no cases and you're quite sure of the separation of your population.
Presumably, the day when any Pacific Island country can open its borders and allow international travellers to come back in is clearly going to be governed by the international situation. But it's going to be a long, long time, isn't it, before any Pacific Island country can feel safe about allowing international travellers back across their borders?
That's very true. And it won't be a stretch to say that if Pacific countries start opening up their borders, they'll probably impose a stand-down self-isolation period or mandated isolation period in designated places for people coming in. Perhaps with a silver lining, we know that Pacific countries, certainly in the south, most of the travelers come from New Zealand and Australia. It's very encouraging to see that the numbers in Australia and New Zealand and are tracking in the right direction, and similarly with the US, although they've got a longer way to go.
From the Pacific community's point of view, against the background of what the Pacific Islands can and can't do in a situation like this, an unprecedented situation like this, what is the kind of assistance that SPC, the Pacific community, are really needing to offer? How are you supporting the individual countries?
Before I talk specifically to the measures SPC has done, one of the good things that I have to say that has happened for COVID-19 is that in January, the partners agreed to come together and form a joint incident management team. And this has really helped to coordinate a vast majority of the support that the partners are doing. So if the countries need some support, they inform any of the partners, which then channels up to joint incident management team and then response to the countries. Then it's decided as to who is the best partner to provide support. So, for instance, as joint incident management team, we've supported countries in preparation. Pretty much all the countries now have a COVID-19 response plan, which sets out what the country does. One of key shortfalls, I should say, at this point in time, if you're looking at countries trying to contact trace, to isolate and to test, is the capability to test for COVID-19 in countries. Prior to COVID-19 coming in, the only countries that had the technology to be able to test were Papua New Guinea, New Caledonia, French Polynesia, Fiji, and Guam. And therefore, the rest of the Pacific countries were not able to test, and they had to send samples either to Hawaii, New Zealand, or Australia. And with the travel restrictions, this has impacted a lot. And this is one of the key areas that the partners, SPC, WHO, UNICEF, Australia, New Zealand, are really putting in some effort to get testing capability for the countries. And we are hopeful that we will be able to provide some testing capability to countries within the next week or two at most, which is a big thing for countries. There's also support for countries' capacity to manage patients if patients get sick. So, for instance, some of the things that we're looking at is supporting countries' human status and some support for their clinical services. In addition, there's support just for overall readiness. PPEs is a big issue. It's the case elsewhere. The testing that we're getting, for example, we're facing the same issues.